What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Bayon Dollar Baby.
And it's your girl, Mila the Brave, on Let's Get Into It.
Yes, and listen, we always got some juicy topics to cover, but today we're diving into a lot of mental health ways of empowering and getting to know yourself, self-love type of topics. So we're going to be going over just a vast amount of things here, and I'm just gonna play some recordings throughout our podcast today. Also, I'm gonna read a few posts that we seem to be pretty relatable to the topic. So I'm gonna start off with Plies. All right, now everybody know Plies. He's very boisterous. He has an opinion, a big opinion, and he took to Instagram. It looks like even Twitter. And he said, Black America, this is a real question. This has been sitting with me for some time now. Why do we, in parentheses, Black folk, enjoy seeing other people fail so much? We could care less when other races don't succeed, but we come out the woodworks to celebrate our own people's shortcomings. And so he's pretty much coming through with a question like, you know, what's up with Black folks, you know, being so happy about the shortcomings that, you know, we as a race, you know, deal with versus seeing other races not succeeding and having those shortcomings and not even, you know, not even addressing it, not even having anything to say about it. Mm-hmm. And for me, when it comes to that question, I look at it like it's like one of those things where it's just been put into our head. It's been a mental thing for years and years and generations where we have become more okay with celebrating the downfalls, the, you know, dissatisfaction, the, you know, not getting the approval, you know, where we have been coming through with addressing those issues and those types of, you know, outcomes for our Black people versus, you know, the successful achievements, the accomplishments, the approvals, the, hey, you got the job, you know? And I think that honestly has to do something with like our history of, you know, us as Black people, where we started, if we were built to, or at least, you know, brought into this to compete with each other and to look at each other, you know, look down on each other and to not really even expect something good to come out of us, then that's going to play out years and years later. And it's just natural with that type of trend. So, yeah. And I mean, I think that it is kind of sad that we haven't as a people recognized that. It seems like, you know, slowly but surely it's becoming like, okay, there's the question now. So now we acknowledge it's an issue. But in the bigger picture, where is the solution? Where are we saying, well, this is a big issue and let's fix it, because that's not okay for us to just, you know, be so particular to us as looking at, okay, well, we ain't get this job, or you didn't get through with this, or you didn't get approved for that, or this didn't work out the way you wanted it to. And then being, you know, more boisterous about that versus people that actually do make it, Black folks that do make it, and saying, congratulations, let's give the flowers when it's due. Let's, you know, let's celebrate. Let's throw a party. Let's say I'm happy for you. You know, certain things that it hasn't happened where it should have. So yeah, I don't know. What are your opinions about that?
I mean, I definitely agree. It definitely goes all the way back to we always, you know, white people tend to mock us, but we always bring up slavery, but it is very impactful within our community. I think that there is a sense of competition that's embedded within our community. And of course, we can trace it all the way back to slavery. Just something as far as like house Negroes versus field Negroes, we are forced to create that segregation within our very own race. And of course, generational trauma trickling down from generation to generation. So we embody that urge to compete and tear one another down as opposed to uplifting. So that's why a lot of times when people say, like, what is it about the Black community? I don't know. I mean, there's so many issues that are within. I mean, the greatest example is, you even mentioned it, like different cultures, like Asians, Indians, Hispanics, they embrace one another. I mean, from what I understand, you even have some Asians who technically believe in chipping in to each other's business. And then when it's the next person's turn, they'll chip into theirs. Mm-hmm. It's that sense of community that they have. But here, we're always like, oh, I'll be damned if you get ahead of me. And it's just like, come on, like, what's the problem? It's like we operate from a place of lack as opposed to a place of abundance. You know, yeah. It's just like, there's not that much when honestly there's room for me, you, and him, you know? Yeah. But that's, it really is sad. And I mean, it's sometimes it does sound like an excuse to always refer back to slavery, slavery, slavery. I do know that's an issue we face, but my thing is this, all the traumas we face, I mean, I get it, and that's a generational trauma, so that's harder to break. But, you know, if a person gets, you know, molested or goes through a very traumatic experience in their life, alcoholism, whatever, they're going to constantly, or any kind of mental issues that they're enduring, they're going to constantly try to face that and seek help for it. Mm-hmm. And I do think that's another thing within our Black community. I feel like we need to turn to therapists. Now, granted, I know there may not be that many Black therapists or whatever, you know, that we might be comfortable with having these conversations with, you know, about these certain concerns or issues or traumas that we have. But we do need to seek therapy and, you know, fixing our own issues and turning within ourselves. I mean, hell, even therapy within the community, openly just talking about certain things, mm-hmm. And not just acknowledging how everybody feels about it, not having it be, we should be able to have healthy debates. You know what I mean? Not saying, yeah. Oh, it's stupid what you think. I think we need a sense of nurturing in our community. We're just always attacking and competing. So I don't know. I feel like healing isn't a big thing. No one's going to help us out of the traumas that slavery has given us, or, you know, the 60s or the ongoing trauma that we've endured and continue to endure. So mm-hmm. We have to turn to ourselves.
Yeah.
And help ourselves progress and heal. But again, I think that'll take another type of mentality. Not that we do have some of us out here that are truly woke. My definition of woke is different than when people just concentrate on, you know, just understanding what's going on as far as, you know, racial, you know, it's the political aspect of it. But I think woke also should attend to the idea of therapy, self-awareness, emotional intelligence, introspectiveness, being able to shame our community, people within our community that aren't doing right. Don't just support people because they're Black. If we're doing some fuck shit within our community, we should call each other out on it and support mm-hmm. each other and help each other heal and grow towards a better cause and a better way. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think that there's just a lot of things to tackle there when it comes to why we don't praise and uplift each other. And it's really sad.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, it is something where people feel like, okay, well, we keep going back and forth to this slavery concept. But that is pivotal in our progression and where we are now.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, it might be annoying and it might be, you know, it might sound old to anyone else to hear that constantly, but realize that that's where it started for us. Mm-hmm, so if the foundation was set where it was meant for us to be competitive against each other, not wanting us to see each other great, not having the financial setbacks, the emotional setbacks, everything, if that has occurred from the very beginning. I mean, think about it. You get a puppy. You start the puppy off and let him shit and piss all over the house. That's the foundation, right? So mm-hmm. it's going to progress to a full-blown dog that has no respect, wants to go ahead and shit and piss everywhere, doesn't care. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and, you know, hate to use that type of analogy, but
I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah, it just speaks to where we started. Other races didn't, I mean, maybe they had their own sense of slavery in their own countries,
right.
But it wasn't where they were taken away from their own country, put into a new country, forced to know a new language.
Plus, it wasn't cattle slavery, you know, so that he had a totally different experience.
Yeah. I mean, all of it. It just completely changed the way we as a people know. Had it had not been that type of scenario, oh, I would love to see where we would be at. Mm-hmm. I really would. If we could have been able to just migrate over here by choice and not have to, you know, go through the demands of, okay, I want to control you and I want to take you away from what you know because I'm afraid that you might succeed. Realize that the reason why they took us from Africa in the very beginning was because they seen the potential. They seen everything that we had to offer and said, we need to build our own. So now we're going to take them and build it off of their backs. Mm-hmm. So that's how it happened. And then the foundation was set for us as a people. So then you can't blame us for, you know, bringing it up now that we're facing these issues, like our own people not realizing, for one, we are against each other instead of united.
Right.
For two, we don't understand how to be financially stable and create generational wealth. It just is not there.
Because we're delayed in actually starting it. While you,
exactly.
There's people who have, you know, slavery money if they really track it back, or just the ability that they were able to purchase homes in the 1950s without things like redlining and things like that and Jim Crow laws. We had so many things that kind of knocked us in submission, laws that were put in place to where we weren't able to take advantage as much as other, well, as white folks were. And that's why they have an advantage in society. But I think with us understanding that and really knowing how our history was, we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves either. We should celebrate the accomplishments which we have, you know.
Yeah.
I think we tend to be a little bit hard on ourselves. You know, like I always give kudos to my parents. You know, they're stuck on the path of generational wealth. You know, they figured out, they realized this is what we want to do, and it's going to be good for, you know, our children's children and whatever. So I think that we shouldn't knock ourselves either. We should also celebrate the quote unquote little achievements, but I don't think they're little. I think they're
immense. I mean, they're little and it will add up to a big, a bigger thing. So, you know, a little bit goes a long way. And so that would actually help. And I hope that the listeners are really, I mean, diving into this type of issue for us, so that it could be now, you know, not even in a piece of unknowing, but now, okay, now that we know what the issue is, now let's try to figure out what do we need to do to push through that and get better. So I hope that is something that is a big takeaway from this.
But we need to support each other. Like, even the discussions we have, you know, forget colorism. We're dividing ourselves now, men and women, men versus women, you know?
Yeah.
It's just really sad. Like how, I don't know, just the racism within that, the separation and within that. I mean, I won't go into that, but it's just, we're finding so many ways to divide ourselves.
Yes.
And you know, you have these women out here who are like, I don't need a man. And it's like, I'm not saying anybody needs anybody, but for the delay that we've experienced, we do need a supportive partner.
Mm-hmm.
We need two people. We need two incomes. I mean, things are getting so expensive. We need two incomes. And that's right. Men need us too. So I'm tired of men acting like they don't need women. Oh, what are women good for? Buddy boy, if you have a woman that has a job, she can help towards your income. You guys need each other. So it's not one more than the other. And I wish people would just kind of put their pride aside. Pride can be so ugly sometimes, because pride can make you overlook things of importance and allow you to shoot yourself in the foot because you're too proud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, I think that goes back to we need to take care of our mental. Exactly. We need to take care of our mental health.
Yeah. Now, I do want to touch a video that pretty much it dives into the long-term effects of unhealed trauma. So I'm going to go ahead and play it. And I mean, just listen to what he's saying. This is so important. Let me start it over.
Think about people who just, they can't control their emotions. They just have these outbursts. They have a lot of trauma they're holding on to. If it doesn't come out that way, it comes out in physical ailments. A lot of people's diseases and physical struggles are through emotional stress that's never been resolved. You know what I'm saying? Stress is the trigger to disease. It's the number one inducer to disease. So people think these emotional things don't matter anymore. And that's why healing is so important. And not just, again, not just healing from your last hurt, healing from everything you've been hurt from. Think about people who just...
And they really, I mean, this is a podcast where it's a woman and a man. And they both go into a lot of things like that, you know, mental health, trauma that it's not just like, okay, there's a one thing that happened and it was a big traumatic issue and I'm working on it, I'm fixing it, and then that's it. It's diving into everything, because a lot of people endure things that they don't even realize is trauma, you know? So it's like, okay, now that you're an adult, looking at the behavior and then also the things that you might go through physically, and then going tracing it back to your life events and experiences that may have helped or triggered to those parts. So one thing I love that he even touched on is the physical part, diseases and things like that, that really, really affects, like, I mean, it's so important to have peace in your life, because just the simple fact that us as Black people deal with certain diseases more than anyone else, any other race, I feel like that is triggered by certain stresses and certain things that we have dealt with in our lives. And then, so it becomes a thing where, okay, so when is it going to stop? When is it going to be a conversation, so that now it's not shunned to go talk about those issues, to deal with those issues and heal from those issues, so that it doesn't affect you physically? Because, you know, we all say, you know, well, Black don't crack, we age gracefully, you know, and we look good. You know, a lot of our ancestors have made it years and years and years. But it is getting to a point where recently, within the past like 25 years, we're experiencing a lot of physical health decline in the Black community. And I wonder, you know, based on that theory of the stress in the triggers that you might endure throughout life, how that is affecting your physical. And then the fact that if you look at the past events over the past 25 years and the people that have been here, and then look at the issues that we may have faced, you know, so high blood pressure, you know, diabetes, sickle cell, all these things that are more within our community. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people can have, you know, any race can have these things, but when you look at the rates of,
in they're our a little bit more prevalent within
it's,
ours.
It's so much higher. I mean, you know, damn near everybody's aunt got diabetes, you know, everybody's aunt or uncle has high blood pressure. And it's not all just, oh, I'm eating bad and I'm, you know, this is why it's happening. It's not really just that. Like, people don't realize stress is a trigger for high blood pressure. That's actually the main thing. It's not just salt. You know what I'm saying? It's honestly the fact that your blood levels and your pressure within your body is so elevated because of things that are happening. It's making you, you know, anxious, it's triggering anxiety, it's making you up and down, up and down. So now your levels aren't regulated. Now you're up here. And so I do feel like that's a big, big thing for us to start diving into. Okay, let's not shun the mental health and, you know, the therapy and getting help within that part. Let's actually promote and say, oh, is there something going on? I think you should talk to somebody, or be that person that, you know, somebody can come and talk to. Because right. Even if there aren't a lot of Black therapists, I mean, it's still the fact that anybody could be your therapist, because you all you got to do is sit and listen.
But But they have to be okay with that, because some people act like, you're not going to bog me down with your negativity. And it's like, damn, like, what if somebody just really needed somebody to talk to and vent to and open up to? Golly.
Yeah, I honestly think that it's a both-sided thing, like, where, you know, you have some that are like, okay, well, I don't want to hear the negative issues or the negative things that you have to say. And, you know, I don't want it to bring me down. But then on the other hand, you have people that are like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to talk to somebody, you know, like, I'm gonna just deal with it myself. You know, who, why would I talk? You know, it's right. This big thing where thinking of even adding a therapist in your life is like, what? Like, that's crazy. Like, you're like, you know, looked at as, you know, oh, that you're weak, you're sensitive, you're this, you're that. Like, come on. So when it taking care of your mind and your body become weak?
Well, because they're too worried about what everybody else thinks. You know, it's just weird. We developed this weird thing in our community where you don't need doctors. And I get it. Some people feel like doctors, you know, put us on medications that kill us. Like, do they really have our best interests? I get that. Mm-hmm. There's been an ongoing argument about that. And there's so many reasons. Apparently history as well mm-hmm. is why Black people aren't that trustworthy of doctors. What was it? That Tuskegee yeah. University yeah, thing where the Black men had syphilis and they mm-hmm. just kind of let them die. So there's just like things like that that created that distrust within the community. And I get that. But as far as therapy goes, you do need somebody to talk to. And at the end of the day, if we feel like we're dying of a heart attack, if we feel like we have anything that's, you know, strenuous to a body or anything, cancer, whatever, that's a life or death decision. We you know what I mean? We put our life in the hands of doctors anyway. So, you know, contrary of the little distress that we might have because there's desperation there, I think people should have just as much desperation when it comes to their mental health. Like, what can it hurt? You know?
Yeah. I honestly feel like it's, I mean, yeah, we know.
And women need to stop calling men bitches because they cry, because that's toxic.
Oh, yeah. What? And then, you know what? And then it makes it hard for the women that are emotionally supportive. Yes. Because now the men have placed that role on all women. Like, oh, but I can't come talk to you. Oh, I can't come be myself. Or I can't open up to you. I can't be vulnerable because women are just looking at us like, oh, we're weak. We this, we that. So it's like, come on. If there's so many avenues that we need to go down and address. Mm-hmm. Because it's just like, listen, it's nothing wrong. You're a human just like anybody else. Yep. Man or woman, it don't matter. Mm-hmm. Just like this whole thing about, oh, he's a boy. Let him do this. Let him do. Listen, my son, he's about to be 2 in January. There's certain things I'm not going to let. No, just because he's a boy or a male right. doesn't mean he has to be, you know, oh, well, he has to be this tough boy. He has to deal right. with it.
Like, if he falls, his emotions, don't cry.
Yeah. You know? Like, if he falls and cries, like, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say, you know, and not to overdo it, because right. I think that we get confused with that. We're not overdoing it. We just address and make sure you're concerned. There's right. nothing wrong with being concerned for somebody in their emotional or, you know, physical mindset. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think that that is just like the first point right there. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. So let's move forward with understanding that people are still people and we right. need help.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And men need to be nurtured as well. I know there's the whole thing about men are different than women, but men fall apart. Men feel weak. Men cry. But it's mm-hmm. really bad when you get a man in a place where he feels like he has to internalize his issues.
Mm. And yeah. then that comes out physically right. because you internalize everything. You don't ever aggressive. Say anything. Yeah. You become, you know, very just sporadic with your, you know, anger, mm-hmm. You know, random outbursts from just something that seems so simple.
Just pent up anger.
Know? And nobody even knows what's going on. And they're like, well, what's going on? Why are you so angry? And then, you know, it's all due to a combination of stuff that they've built up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I mean that right there, that would trigger high blood pressure. That would trigger a lot of different things in your body that's now creating a disease. That could even help, you know, decrease your immune system, you know, yeah. the way that your immune system operates and keeps you healthy.
Right.
It could go down because of the fact that you're holding stuff in, blocking your emotions from it's like, and here's what I always I've always gone by this my whole adult life. If I'm sad, I'm going to cry that shit out and I'm going to get it out. As if I'm mad, I'm going to go ahead and get it out. If I'm irritated, I'm going to let myself be irritated. I'm going to live in my emotion because at the end of the day, our emotions are there for a reason. We should feel, and it shouldn't be a just over the top, you know, like we shouldn't be like, oh, I'm angry, I'm just going to flip shit. Or, oh, I'm sad, I'm just going to, you know, no, we're not going to go over the top with it, but let's right. just go ahead and address our emotions to ourselves and allow ourselves to feel okay with that happening at that moment and then move on. That's addressing it, feeling it in the moment, and then getting it out. That's what happens. And that's where I feel like we don't operate. A lot of people correlate, and you know what, that's a big thing too. A lot of people correlate sadness with anger. So somebody could be down and feel like really be in a mood, but then people automatically assume that they're mad.
Right.
Why does it all have to be mad?
Right.
I might be sad. I might be down. Well, see,
I think that's a lack of emotional intelligence, kind of. I think like I watch people that have a difficult time being able to convey how they feel. Like, you know, I used to know somebody who, like, you know, maybe they'd be in a funk, or maybe they felt unsure about something, or like it was just an array of emotions, and they would always apply the word weird to how they're feeling because I guess it was different than their default mood. But I always encourage people to just explore that. And I'm realizing out here that a lot of people don't really know how they're feeling. It sounds so simple, but a lot of them don't allow themselves to really feel and to process the emotion. You know, and that's why I just like, well, how are you feeling? Well, what triggered it? You know, I don't mean to sound like a therapist, but it's also like I'm a very curious individual. So people that are surrounded by me, I kind of want to go deeper. Yeah. You know, I want to know, I want to explore that with them.
And that's good, because at the end of the day, you have a concern about people's well-being. You know, you don't want to see somebody dealing and struggling with something. You know, you want to see somebody go through it, and then even if they need the outlet, because let's be honest, suicide rates have been up, like, I mean, crazy. Yeah. To the point where, like, it's sad. It's like, damn. So it's nobody. So everybody's just like, oh, you're on your own. Like, just moving along. Everybody's just moving fast throughout this world and not stopping for one another.
They're not being empathetic. It's like that emotion has been lost, or it's being lost.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know. It's just like, and yeah, that's a big thing too with the, oh, I feel weird, or I feel this, or that's weird. You know, we have this weird, that's the trend now. Oh, that's weird. That's weird. But it's like, just like, do we not know any other vocabulary?
Right. Like, to me, it's like a limited vocabulary as well. It's like, man, I mean, it's not really yours. It's not really vibrant.
Like we gotta tap into exploring and understanding how each other feel, or at least ourselves, how we feel, you know, inside, and then being able to express that. Because one thing about it is that you can't be out here having issues, then not know what the issue is, and then when it's time to be vocal about it, have no idea. Like, it's just like, it's a lost soul at that point. And there is something that has to happen with that. We can't just walk around everybody lost, not knowing what's going on with themselves. Just, you have to know yourself. And that's right. That's a part of self-love. It's not, you know, self-love is not just sitting and getting a fucking pedicure, or going and, you know, doing something for you. Yes, that's self-care. But self-love is when you actually know what it is that bothers you and how you can fix it yourself without needing anybody else.
Right.
Or self-love is, I know that, you know, whenever I'm, you know, going through something, this is the trigger of me getting to this point, or this is something that can trigger you to open up an emotion like anger or something that might appear to be quote unquote weird to somebody else, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, self-love, knowing everything about you and then also open to learning more about you, because everything changes, you know, you're not going to just be the same person for your whole life. So that's what people need to take away. Like, love yourself, learn yourself, and know what it is that you need to do and how you need to operate for yourself. And then also tapping into other people. That's, you know, like, if you love yourself, then you know that you need people on your wagon too, to be able to support you and help you. So then it means contributing and filling in with other people. So maybe my partner is down and maybe he's, you know, going through some stuff. I know at some point I'm going to go through some stuff and I may need him too. I'm going to pour into him. I'm not going to pour my whole cup into him, but I'm going to pour enough that I feel, okay, this is enough that I can
right. get like out. You can afford to dispense yes. this energy. You know, exactly. No one's telling you to drain yourself, but it's just like, you know, I get everyone gets on this whole self-preservation kick. Like, I need to save myself. And it's like, yeah, sure. But if you're in a situation, especially with your partner, just like you said, pour enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So, you know, that, I mean, that really just explains a lot about, and I think this was a big topic for me to cover today because we're going into a new year. And it's just like time and time and time and time. It's just like, it's going, you know, we don't have a lot of time. We keep seeing every other time we turn around, somebody's dying. Mm-hmm. I would be so just happy and feel refreshed to even see that us as people start to love each other more and start to take care of each other and take care of ourselves, because we're going into more and more, you know, I don't like a crazy time that we're going into where things are going to be changing. The next like 10 years is going to look like a major different.
Shift. I feel it. Yeah. It's like, I can't explain it. I mean, and please listeners chime in. I want to know if you guys are feeling this too, but it just seems like, I just miss how the old days felt. Like I always say
it's
that.
So
like,
easy.
Like I had the time to actually sit and look up at the sky and watch the cloud shift. Right. But now it just seems like there just isn't any time anymore. And it just feels like there's a major impactful shift. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know where it's going.
Right.
You know, there's such uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think I've clung on to this whole idea of I'm going to love on people while they're here, you know, and I'm going to make sure like my life mission, you know, there's other ones to make sure anybody I touch, anybody I meet, I want it to be an experience that they remember, that I actually took the time to sit down and pick their brain and be a listening ear if that's what they needed. Because for some reason, being a listening ear or being a source for somebody to vent to, it doesn't exhaust me. Honestly, I feel honored that someone trusts me enough to sit down and open up to me on that level.
Yeah. So
it, for some reason, it doesn't drain me.
But that's good. And I think that you've poured enough into yourself that you can, and it that's very important for people to understand too. Like you can sit and hear what's, you know, what somebody else is going through. You can hear the most toxic thing ever, but it doesn't affect
you.
Right. To master what type of energy you have within yourself. Right. Because a lot of people don't realize, you know, it's like you walk into a room, somebody's upset, you're good. You're in a high, you know, you're just great. And then that person's upset. You talk to them, you start, you know, conversing, and now you're like, oh, that energy. Why are you acting like that? Now you're getting upset. That should not happen.
It shouldn't.
The transition or that transference of energy where that person's upset, now you're upset when you walked in happy. That right. should not happen.
You're very influential spirit. That's what I feel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then if you're able to sit and somebody is crying, boohooing, telling them, you know, just telling you some outrageous, just off the wall stuff that they're going through. And it's just like, it is not impacting you at all.
Right.
That is amazing. Cause you've tapped
in. I mean, I will say like, if I'm around like a negative energy, like, you know, you just, I don't know. Like I met someone this year. They just had such a negative, it was a dark energy. And it was something that made me like, ooh.
Oh, you were like, intrigued.
No, not intrigued. But I was just like, you felt it. I didn't know what that was. Cause I've never felt a darkness like that. It didn't change my positivity. It was weird. I was intrigued because I wanted to combat it. But see, you get into a dangerous, you get into a very dangerous war if you choose to do that. Because you could be risking yourself because you don't know what kind of dark energy that is. Yeah. You might want to stay away because they could engulf you into flames. That was the one time I really met a negative. It didn't affect me as far as making me negative, but it's weird. I would feel the pain physically, and I think it's because this individual I was around consistently.
Yeah,
but like it was just, I feel like my stomach would hurt, or it's it was transferred on a more physical sense, which was kind of, it was just such a weird experience for me. But that's how I knew I don't enjoy being around negative, dark energies for an extensive amount of time.
Yeah.
Because it'll be impactful in that way.
But I'm just glad that you even have that, you know, wisdom to be able to know what kind of energy that is and then to stay away from it.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people, a lot of people will stay. A lot of people just be around, just
like, you don't feel that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't feel that. Like, ooh.
And that's a big thing for me. I honestly just can't naturally be around somebody that doesn't give me a good feeling within myself. It turns me away. I honestly would just naturally, my body, my facial expressions, everything will not mesh. It just won't go. So then I just would easily remove myself because I can't, my body won't allow me. My soul won't allow me. So, you know, that's one of those things where, I think it is, again, it tapping into yourself and reaching a peak of knowing what it is that you need and what is healthy for you that way.
And not forcing it, you know, because we have a tendency when we don't really have that self-awareness, it's like, oh, I can do it. But when you really realize what you lose or what you could potentially lose, you're like, oh yeah, dude, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Because a lot of people don't realize that the people that you have around you that may have, you know, demons attached to their soul and things that are, you know, that's holding them back.
Yes.
They come around you. Now you start getting, you know, stuff that you got set up for
and
your life.
And all of a sudden stuff just becomes bad. And it's like, you may have never gotten in accidents like that. Man, you got accidents left and right.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just like, it just seems like, again, they engulf you with their negative flames. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you look around and you're like, I don't even, my life isn't even like this.
Like all of you just get struck with this bad luck and you're like, what is going on? Yeah, that's a big thing. And people think it's hocus pocus, like, oh, it's just not.
Nah, that's
and that's why if you fail to even understand that part, you will always be behind. That's the part of woke that people need to understand.
That's the real woke. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is it. So
that's really woke. It's just like manifestation. A lot of people, you know, everyone hates that magic word, witchcraft thing. But if you really think about it, when this manifestation that everybody's preaching, it's just that law of attraction. It's that I believe that this is going to happen. I'm focused in on this. I am saying I am. It's very mystical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not thinking it's not maybe. No. It is.
It is.
I am. I believe it. I know this to be true. Not I kinda. It's a confidence. Like this, you're willing it into existence.
Yep.
In a sense, that's magic.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say it gets to a point where your thoughts are the first thing. So it's not even just the saying what comes out your mouth. It's the thoughts.
Yes,
if you every day think I'm going to be late. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be late. Oh, I'm going to. Then things are going to start happening in your life. You're not just going to pop up late. Things are going to start rolling in. So, one thing might happen and another thing might happen and another thing might happen. And now, boom, it's an event that's causing you to be late for work.
Yeah.
Another thing, you know, oh, I hope I don't lose my job. I hope I don't, or something, you know, something. Anything.
It's always having that negative thought that, you know, starting your day with that negativity. And I mean, it could even sway your mood because you're like, oh God, it's going to be like, you got to watch these people are like, this is going to be a crummy day. And it's like, damn.
Right. Don't say that. People always have this connotation on Mondays. Oh my gosh, Monday. Listen, Monday is a great day for me. This good Monday.
Okay.
Not on this good Tuesday. Every day is a great day for me because I speak it and I think it.
Yes.
If you, and it is a law of attraction. If you think in your head, I'm going to get this car. Then every day life events will happen so that you are able to one day get the car. It's just designed that way. That's what it's a magnitude. Like, and people don't understand the frequency that you can give off to attract that back. So like, if you're interested in this, if any listeners, if you think, oh, that sounds interesting, look it up. Law of attraction, frequency, vibrations, everything. When I go to bed,
I
listen to binaural beats, which is like, you know, music that has frequency levels in it that in waves that send through my own body. So mm-hmm. while I'm sleeping, I'm manifesting things. So, and it could be a you know, vibration or a frequency that's manifesting, you know, money or mm-hmm. wealth or, you know, peace or mm-hmm. love. So certain things, if I know this is what I'm attracting in my life or what I want to attract in my life, then I'm going to go ahead and start thinking about it, saying it, you know. For me, I've witnessed it. I've seen it firsthand with my own personal life. There's certain things that I've wanted out of my life that I spoke about years ago, and it's happening now. It actually came true, you know? So it's just like, I can't be nothing but a believer, you know? And it has, you know, it's not just manifestation, of course. You have your mm-hmm. God, whoever it is that you pray to, you know, that's your higher being, and that's who you, you know? So I do feel like, and there's a greater being somewhere, whatever it is, if it's God, if it's Buddha, I don't know who it is. Right. It's somebody there, something.
There's a higher power.
And that is also helping. But, you know, the tongue is a powerful thing, and your brain, your thoughts, your mind, it's a powerful thing. So if you really, you know, if you're interested in even just like wanting more in your life and wanting more out of just, you know, just think about it just for a second. You know, and make sense of it, your words and what you're thinking, and then think about how your life has played out so far. If something has happened, did you think about that happening?
I'm sorry, and say it again.
No, I'm just saying, you know, saying it for the listeners. If something has happened in your life, did you think about that happening?
Mm-hmm.
And then put it to the test. Put, you know, like think about your events that have happened in your life and then think, wow, so did I think about this consistently right. enough for this to just manifest and start happening? Because half the time, that's how it is. Oh, I think I might be sick. Oh, I think the famous one is the pregnancy shit. Oh, I think I had a pregnancy scare. Oh my gosh. Am I pregnant? Oh my gosh. I think I might be pregnant. Boom. You're going to end up doing some things and
right,
you're going
to line up to where you're pregnant.
Yeah. It's just going to start lining up. It's going to start happening, you know, cause you're just talking it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I know that we done ran around. Some
well, things. You know how we do.
These people probably like head spinning. Y'all done blew my mind, but yeah, you know, it's so much. And I don't even know. Like, listen, I've been waiting.
I don't know where we. How do we track
that? I'm like, wait. So, can we get? How do I get back on track here?
Oh, well, one thing we could end it on. Well, it's kind of sad, but I was gonna. Remember, we were supposed to do the updates.
Yeah. Okay, so
she didn't seem too happy about that.
Well, one thing I will say with, you know, because we were going to go ahead and give you guys some updates. I think it might be a little, you know, late, I guess, in the time now.
Okay.
Where, you know, with Shanquilla. But I will say, I think a lot of stuff is coming out with this case.
Now, well, we found out that Khalil was actually friends with Dejanay Jackson as well. They actually go way back, even longer than Shanquilla. Apparently as far back as kids. And then there was something about Dejanay having been arrested, but I'm not sure how true that is. Cause don't you think they would have made a bigger deal about that?
Honestly, I don't know.
Right. You never can know. Cause I'm not really familiar with the process, but I was looking at this one YouTuber online. And I forgot his name. He tends to be very misogynist in what he talks about, misogynistic. But he also has another channel where he breaks down different cases. Apparently, he used to work with the feds. Forgot his name. But he's very thorough in the breakdown. And he did mention that he didn't think that she got caught yet.
Well, I do know. But
I'm
going
to put the link of that video under our podcast, so you guys can check it out. Yeah.
Okay. But you know, thorough. It's one thing I will say is that I'm just so happy that it's a swift, like, you know, and it may not happen as fast as we want it to, but the process is happening. So where they're acting on getting these people, you know, getting everybody that was involved and saying, hey, like, we got to hold each person accountable for where they have contributed to this happening altogether for her. And I'm happy with them moving so fast for the mother, because it's like, it's one thing to lose your child, but then another thing to have no results behind that. And we see that happen a lot where it's just a cold case, like nothing happens. So happy that, you know, the case is so unfortunate. And I don't like, you know, hearing somebody lose their life where, you know, it wasn't meant to happen that way. It wasn't a natural death, but, you know, I do believe in, you know, healing and just pretty much getting down to that bottom of it and you know, giving the consequence to who is due to. And they were the ones that, you know, committed this execution, which, you know, maybe all hands weren't physically on deck. But like I said, there was a contribution from everybody that was there on that trip. And I am happy that they're moving, you know, in that quick response, because yeah, it's not okay for all of it to have happened like that. Especially, I mean, I understand that there was a idea that she did something to the other girl's family, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's not your fate. It's not your right to call somebody to, you know, their deathbed. So, yeah. And then another sad story too, really quickly. A 10-year-old boy, 10-year-old Milwaukee boy, was charged as an adult for fatally shooting his mother in the head after she refused to buy his, the VR headset. And there's just so many questions. Like,
well, apparently he was, from what I understand, I don't know how true this is, but apparently he had a history of doing some fuck shit before. Apparently he was like hurting their cat or an animal, some kind of pet that they had. And apparently the mother was so concerned about how bad her son was that she installed cameras. And the day he killed her was like, she removed the cameras a day before apparently that happened, from what I understand.
But it's just like, at that point, if he, one thing is just a big red flag. Mm-hmm. You're hurting animals and like,
of course, that's always
like certain people or things that, you know, may not have the opportunity to protect themselves. That's a big sign. So not saying that, you know, I mean, I'm not saying anything, but wondering why she didn't address that a lot sooner. Because honestly, like, if my child, I'm, you know, and not placing fault or blame or anything, but if one of my kids is doing some stuff that just looks to be just not right.
Right.
Like, you know, hurting an animal. Yeah. Like hurting an animal or something like that. You know, I'm gonna start questioning a lot of things. And
that's alarming. Like, why do you get enjoyment out of doing that? Why does it hurt you that living creature is suffering, and why aren't you feeling anything about it? Well, you know what I mean? Like, why are you creating harm to something that's not bothering you?
Yeah, because I mean, you know, I live in a neighborhood where like there's like hella squirrels. And one day we're driving down the street to the house, and I ran over a squirrel, on purpose, of course, by accident. And my daughter was in the back, and she was like, oh my God, because I seen the squirrel. The squirrel was like dodging in and out. I mean, like, I don't know what he was doing. He kind of set himself up, but you know, he's in and out of the street, and I'm trying to avoid him, end up hitting them on accident. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she was like, what? And she kind of already knew what was up. So she's like, did you hit the squirrel? Oh my gosh. And the sweetest thing that she said was, well, it's okay. His mommy and daddy is going to come back for him. It's okay.
Nugget.
I was like,
you did a good job.
At the end of the day, she know that squirrel done died, but at least she, you know, it wasn't like, was it guts and like, you know,
right? Like she wasn't curious about that. She felt bad for the squirrel, and then had a sense of optimism in the end.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I mean, it's certain things that, you know, do become like obvious concern. Like, okay, if this child is reacting to this, which in that is, you know, in that instance, he was actually inflicting the pain on the animal. So right. In that case, that's just extremely alarming thing. And it's just like, okay, like we got to get help. So, but it ended up costing her life. So that's so sad.
It's a shame.
And I mean, he was charged as an adult. So it's just like, oh gosh, 10 years old in the
life thrown away.
Prison?
Right. Like how the hell is that going to work? It's going to be rough.
Yeah. It's going to be really hard for him.
He's going to grow up real quick.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But hate to end it.
Well, yeah, we have to.
on such a sad note. But
yes. What I will
say is, as I hope everybody has taken away like a really good positive note from this, like we just want everybody to dive into themselves. Like I said, we're going into a new year. So hit us up if you, you know, need some tips or, you know, want to find out like what are good ways to help with finding yourself and help with that self-love. And if you feel like you can't go to anybody else and talk about some stuff, hit us up. You can be anonymous. You don't have to, you know, well, I guess it's kind of not anonymous if it's on Instagram, but
I know I was like wondering if there is a way that it could not, well, we would share it anonymously.
Right. We'll share it anonymous.
Yeah. But it would be nice if we could find a way to make it anonymous, but I don't know.
So we could, we're going to work on that, guys. We're going to figure out a way so that you guys can just vent or, you know, put some things out there that you maybe held in for a while. So I will make it that way. You can actually put some stuff down, you know, anonymously and not have to feel like you're outing yourself all the way, even if it is just right. Us. So yeah, we'll do that soon.
And I'll just say three things to end it. So one, this is just towards being positive. Be thankful you woke up this morning. Two, You do not have to listen to haters because for what? They're haters. Okay. We ignore those. And then three, don't compare yourself to others. Compete with your yesterday version and continue to strive to be better. Don't focus around those around you. Just be the best you can possibly be. Stay in your lane. And as long as you're improving, you're doing all the good that you need to do. Don't be so hard on yourself. Be proud of yourself. And that's all I'm going to say.
What Kevin Hart say? He said, I only beat me.
Okay, because that's all you need
to do. I only want to beat me. Pause. I ain't trying to, but just I only want to beat me. That's all you got to worry about yourself.
Just me. Be the best. We're signing off.
All right, y'all.
Peace and love.